November 19th, 2012. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. My website is spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the Spingola chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is James Russell. He is the producer, the writer, the director, the editor of Resonance, Beings of Frequency. I have added it to the radio schedule page on today's date. I recommend that you watch this. I watched it with a notepad and made 4 pages of notes. An amazing film. I hope that you will all have an opportunity to watch it. His websites are Flat Frog Films. That is flatfrogfilms.com. Very interesting name. Also, patientzeroproductions.com. Another website that is very interesting is earthbreathing.co.uk/sr.htm. He talks a lot about things that I really was not aware of. The film is scientific, although it is created for the layperson, which is what I am. He published this film on November 27th, 2012. It is available for purchase as well as watching it on YouTube in its entirety. And what it says at YouTube is, this James Russell film is a sensational, eye-opening documentary that examines 60 years of scientific research. And it talks about the Schumann resonance, that the Earth is 7.83 hertz, which is identical to the human brain. The pulse of the Earth is the pulse of human life. And you can look up Schumann on Wikipedia, and very, very interesting, as I say. He talks about bees several years ago, maybe 5 years ago. We begin to notice, or people begin to notice, particularly beekeepers, that their bees were not returning to their hives. And this was called colony collapse. And there were all kinds of speculation about what was causing it. And in this film, James really describes what happened to the bees, what is happening to the bees, as well as to other animal life here on the planet. Do we have him on the phone yet? Still trying. Okay, he is in the UK, and we hopefully we will have him online when we come back from the break. But anyway, James talks about the bees. He talks about birds. He talks about the use of cell phones. There are 4 million cell phones in use today. They came into use in the 1980s, and they started building this grid without looking into any of the health consequences. All right, we'll be right back, and hopefully we will have James on the phone. All right, we are back. This is Deanna, and we're having trouble with the phone number that that James gave us, and we're not able to reach him. I just emailed him. And hopefully he will respond to that email and he will call in. But as I was saying, I did take a lot of notes watching this film. And in fact, it took me quite a long time to get through the film because I was taking so many notes. I was stopping and taking notes. Anyway, what he said about bees is that bees are very, very sensitive to magnetic fields. They use them for navigation. Without bees, life would not exist. They are the pollinators. we would have a huge decrease in population. And this is a worldwide issue, this colony collapse that I was talking about right before we went to the break. Bees just do not return to their hives. And he says, and I'll quote it right from the film, most of our world crops depend on pollination by bees. If there is no pollination, then there is alienation of mankind. German research has long shown that the behavior of bees changes when they are placed near to power lines. And this is very important. Now, as I said, cell phone use came into being, and there are about 4 million cell phones in use right now. There is something called a cryptochrome, which are the rhythms or compass in birds. And cell phones and the industry is worth billions of dollars. As I said, they came into use in the 1980s, and they started building this huge grid with all these towers without looking into any of the health consequences. And there is a constant smog of man-made frequencies, and the industry did not do any testing. There are cell phone towers that have been shown to cause breast cancer and infertility. In part of the film, he talks about this lady, Eileen, who lives in a very, very small village I can't remember exactly how many people, maybe 800 or so. And about 20% of the people, because there is a cell tower right in the middle of the village, about 20% of the people in her small village became ill with no previous history or anything. I mean, it's just amazing. And these cryptochromes, and if you Google it or if you go to Wikipedia and type in cryptochrome, that's cryptochrome, cryptochrome, it talks about how we have it also, and that if you were to take a child, maybe a 10-year-old child, and blindfold them and turn them around several times, that if they, without taking the blindfold off, they would probably be able to tell you in which direction they are facing. Now, I guess it's like playing pin the donkey on the tail or something. It's that kind of a concept. He was talking in the film about the fact that BlackBerry and all these other cell phone companies are absolutely aware of the dangers that they pose. However, in their documentation, and not necessarily in the user's guide, but in the documentation, and this pertains to all the cell phone companies, their documentation shows that they are more interested in protecting themselves than in protecting their customers. Now, typically when somebody buys a product, they're not going to read through all the fine print that comes with the product. And most of these products say you should not have these cell phones close to your body. You should have them a certain distance from your head and all of these things. But it's all in fine print. And what they are doing is just protecting themselves because they know that these things are dangerous. But they also recognize that they're making billions of dollars because everybody wants to have one. And it doesn't even matter if an individual doesn't have or use a cell phone. As soon as you get out into the public arena, there's a kind of a smog of pollution, of radiation. And this film, by the time I got done watching it, I was just amazed. Let me give you some of the figures. It's a good thing I took good notes. Let me give you some figures. Man-made frequencies disrupt most animal life, such as birds and insects. And there is, and I've seen this advertised, a pest control company that now uses some kind of a frequency to rid a person's house of rodents and other pests. And when I saw this advertisement some time ago, I don't have any pests myself, but a friend of mine mentioned that she had some. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, wow, well, wouldn't that hurt pets and perhaps the people if this product is going to be a danger to rodents and other pets. Anyway, over the last 25 years, just let me give you some figures, 45% of all Europe's common birds have declined in numbers. Now, I have noticed, because I kind of tune into nature and I like animals and birds, but I have noticed that there's not as many, there's not as much of a variety of the birds. I've also noticed this in butterflies. There used to be, when I was a kid, there used to be butterflies all over. I mean, I used to go out and, I hate to say this, but I used to catch them. I would let them go, but we all like to do this. And when you go out now, you do not see butterflies. And anyway, 50% decline in all European grassland butterflies have been noticed. Half of all known British butterflies are under threat of extinction. Now, the reason he's using European figures and British figures is because he lives in the UK. He's also incorporated some figures from Asia. 62% of Asia's migratory water birds are declining or are extinct. Bee numbers have dropped by up to 70%. Four species of animal bees have decreased in numbers by up to 98%. Farmland birds have fallen by as much as 79%. One in eight of the world's bird species are under threat. 190 different species of birds face imminent extinction. Now, these figures are very troubling, very, very alarming, particularly when you're talking about bees. If bees are the pollinators of the earth, and it does take the bees to pollinate the fields, and if they are so sensitive to these magnetic this magnetic radiation that is so prevalent, that's absolutely polluting our environment, that is why the bees are dying. And that is why the birds are dying. And it is because of cell phone use. And he was mentioning in the film, which is an excellent film, that the average person gets a cell phone when they are 8 years old. Now, the skull of an 8-year-old is much, much thinner than the skull of an adult. So it is much more dangerous for a child to have a cell phone than it is for an adult. And it's dangerous for an adult and leads to all kinds of problems. And look at the number of children who now have cancers. From leukemia to brain cancer, and I've known several. And then you also have to figure in the fertility issue and a lot of other things. Now, there's called an International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection. And their website is irpa.net. And this organization sets the standard for cell phone radiation. However, it is totally irrelevant because they set it so low and it is so ineffective, and the people who are members of this organization have to be invited to join. And it's these same people that participate in this organization that also fund the industry. And you find the same kind of situation in the medical industry, where the pharmaceutical companies are actually funding medical research and funding the medical universities. And so this international commission is, by for all practical purposes, they are totally ineffective. Now, there was a doctor, Dr. Roger Coghill, who is a bioelectromagnetic researcher, said regarding radiation pollution, and I quote, "The radiation environment has increased many millions of times than years ago," and we're talking in the last 20 years. There is something called SAR, which is the rate that the brain absorbs microwaves from cell phones, and scientists conduct tests on each phone brand. Now, I know my notes aren't in any kind of an order. I tried to make them in an orderly fashion, but it just didn't happen. But scientists conduct tests on each phone brand to determine the amount of microwave radiation absorbed by the brain. And they use something called the SAM Phantom Head. And they created this skull, and it's for an adult. Okay, we're going to do a break. We'll be right back. And I think we'll go ahead and take some calls unless we have got James on the phone. Be right back. Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest still isn't with us, but we've got some callers lining up, and that's okay. Let's take a caller, and we can talk about anything. We can talk about the film, if people have watched the film already, or we can talk about what happened last Friday. Whatever you'd like to talk about. Let's take Jim in Georgia. Jim, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Deanna. I don't just call to talk to a machine or waste your time. We have hundreds of flowers in our yard, and my wife loves to plant them. But I have noticed on this year on the monarch butterflies, were much smaller than usual, and we hardly seen any tiger swallowtails. And that's very unusual, but the monarchs are much smaller. And I thought to myself, how are they going to migrate back to South America, the size they were? But another thing I had noticed is I've lived here for 42 years. I'm originally from up north, but I live in Georgia. And the geese and the sandhill cranes have changed their, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but they have changed their pattern. I've been watching them for 43 years come over the house, and I've seen very few this year. So evidently they've changed their pattern of flight. But I'm wondering if that has something to do with it as far as the cell towers. And I'll let you go, and I just figured I'd let you know. I don't call unless I have something that I feel is important to say. So thank you, dear.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate your phone call. And the film did address birds. And he said that they have what is called these cryptochromes. They are cells. And they are the compass for birds. And that they and we also have it. We also have the same kinds of cells. And that when there is a lot of pollution. In other words, the Earth is an electrical entity. It is 7.83 hertz, the very, very same as our brain. We are electrical beings. And when that resonance, that 7.83, which is in our brain and is the pulse of the earth and is the pulse of human life and animal life, that when there is a lot of pollution from other electrical sources, from radiation sources, any kind of other radio frequencies, that pollutes the natural hertz of the earth. And it's called the Schumann resonance. Because Professor Schumann, a German, discovered this.
Well, that's over my head. You lost me there. But I've been, I'm outside almost every day, and I had a landscaping business. So I see what goes on in nature and with animals and squirrels, and I can tell when it's going to, pretty much when it's going to be a cold winter. But thank you so much, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay, Jim. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now, our DNA can replicate itself because the DNA, they talk to each other through the same kind of electrical energy. They can talk to each other, and the DNA can heal itself, replicate itself. But when you have this interference from other patterns, from other man-made frequencies, that it disrupts the natural regeneration of the human body. It also destroys the natural cryptochrome cells that enable birds to fly where they want to go, whether they're going north, whether it's a butterfly is going south to return to where they live or where they reside, or whether it's even salmon. The birds and the animals, the insects that typically rely on that 7.83 megahertz get confused. That's why the bees no longer return to their hives, and they call it colony collapse. It is because of this interference of man-made frequencies that are very dangerous to the whole planet. We are going to a break, but let's take Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. I spend a lot of time outside, and the last two, I've noticed there's fewer birds around here, of course, and we've really had a grasshopper plague here for last year and this year, and I understand in researching how to get rid of them, I understand that they do tend to come out when there's a drought, you know, but I also think that, you know, they're not getting eaten because there's fewer birds.
Well, I think you're right, and they do come out when there's a drought, but nature has a way of taking care of those kinds of issues. It makes a great feast for the birds, but if the birds aren't there because of some problem, then you're going to have a problem. And, of course, you have to figure out, okay, what's causing the drought. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back, and we'll take some more calls. Sherry, you can stay over the break if you'd like to. Be right back. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and we still don't have our guests, but we have a lot of interesting callers. So, Sherry, are you still there?
Yes, Deanna, I have a cell tower about a half a mile to the east and about a half a mile to the west. And I, when they put the one up, which was the first one, up to the west of us, we fought it, but you cannot fight these things on health reasons. And you're not even notified unless you have property, I think, within 300 yards of where they're putting up the cell tower. So we weren't really notified. We just kind of found out. You know, you can't fight them according to the Telecommunications Act of 1996 on health reasons. Now, there's a pond right by the cell tower, a big pond, and I don't really see birds land on that pond very often. I've seen it occasionally, but they just don't land like you see birds land on ponds, and this is a big pond. It's spring-fed, and it doesn't dry up like the other ponds around here have. But anyway, that was my comment. So.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's very interesting. Some people say, that kind of thing wouldn't bother me. People are sensitive to magnetic fields because of our composition, because of the composition of our body, and because it should be 7.83, any kind of interference will make every single human being and every single animal, insect, bird, it will affect all of us. You don't have to be electrosensitive. You just have to have 7.83 megahertz, which we all have, and this is going to affect you. Now, when the telephone, the companies say that they've made these tests and they, you know, there's been no negative consequences, well, they just started making these tests at the end of in the late 1990s, and just as you know, they didn't know that perhaps cigarette smoking would be a health issue. They didn't know it until people had been doing it for a couple generations, and it's the same with cell use, cell phone use, and the cell towers. You don't know until it has been in evidence for a while, until the cell tower has been up there for 10 years. And there was a gentleman that I know recently who perished of fast-growing cancer because there was a cell tower right next to the apartment building that he was living in. And so we are seeing the consequences, even if you look at smart meters, which is exactly the same thing. Whatever interrupts the frequency of your body, and we are all electrical beings, whatever interrupts the frequency of our own body is going to damage us, our health. It's just plain and simple. It doesn't matter whether you're hypersensitive or whatever, and you're not going to know it. There was one gentleman in the film who said, well, I have hay fever. And when I go out into a field that has a lot of flowers and other things that apparently he's allergic to, it doesn't affect him right away. It's not like turning the light on and turning the light off again. He has to be out there for a couple of hours, and then it starts to affect him. And then when he comes in the house, from the area of that is affecting him, it isn't like turning the light off and all of a sudden, okay, he's fine now. He is going to suffer from the situation for the next 24 to 48 hours. And that is the way that most of our bodies operate. So,
well, these farmers that are approached to put these things up, they get big money. It'll more than pay their tax payment for taking up such a little area, and it'll help them pay for the property. So that's why, I mean, my neighbor was, a friend of mine was approached for the cell tower first, and she said they were going to give him like $600 a month.
Wow.
So, anyway, thanks.
Yeah, I can see. It's always, always, always about money.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sherry, for calling in. All right, let's take Pete in Idaho. Pete, welcome to the program. Pete, are you there?
Yes, yeah, I'm here, yes. Yes, and thank you for taking my call. And I was just, you know, I have a cell phone, and I hadn't even thought about this stuff till I was hearing you guys talk about it just this morning. And I know there's a couple towers that are, you know, I can see them around the neighborhood. Anyway, I just am been blessed with a lot of things. I'm happy to be retired here in North Idaho, and a friend had told me to listen to your show, call in, and then I did. I told another friend today, I called him up, and I said, you know, I told him that he can listen online in this area. So anyway, you know, and I know that our government isn't helping us. It isn't helping me any. Anyway, like I said, I'm just happy to be retired in Idaho today.
Well,
that's it for now. All right.
Okay. Well,
bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Pete. It's really important that we understand that the government is not our friend, and that the corporations are in bed with the government. And the corporations pay the government representatives, supposedly our representatives, to allow these things. And they do it. It's all about money. And, of course, we all know that the love of money is the root of all evil. But we do have to make decisions that are not based on money. When somebody comes along and wants to give you, you know, a bunch of money to do a particular thing, you have to look at the consequences. Is $600 a month worth the entire health of your family? Is it worth the health of the people that your neighbors? We need to start recognizing that corporations really are all about money. And even the ones that are supposedly supposed to be helping you, such as the medical industry, or I should say the sickness industry, they are not there to help you. They are there to make money. All right, let's take another call. Let's take Anthony in California. Anthony, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, Deanna.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a listener of Alex Jones, too. I don't know if you know him, Alex Jones.
Of course,
yes.
I do.
Yeah, he sometimes when he goes on his temper tantrums, I sort of tune him out and I listen to you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to, or your broadcast, taking the time to listen to me. I wanted to talk to you about these mass shootings.
Sure.
I'm really concerned because I'm wondering if you know about DARPA, our government.
Mm-hmm.
The government agency DARPA.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know anything about DNA nanotechnology.
A bit, and what we're talking about right now correlates to DARPA and to the technology that you have to ask yourself. Why are they developing things that they know is going to be dangerous and is going to lead to the deaths and chronic illnesses and the infertility of so many people?
Yeah, I'm wondering if, these people, since these oligarchs have control of our government, are using this agency and their biological eugenicists as a way to experiment on sick and mentally ill people, because these recent shootings, like this guy Lanza,
mm-hmm.
he's mentally ill, and
well, he was on a lot of psychotropic drugs,
yes,
mm-hmm.
Antidepressants, and I'm wondering if he's been injected with DNA nanotechnology to alter his DNA and his behavior, to actually, cause him to have rage and anger because, our hypothalamus is like a chemical factory, a pharmaceutical chemical factory of every emotion that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And rage and anger has a specific chemical. And I'm wondering, if this wireless DNA technology that they're using, that they may be using, I don't know. I'm just guessing that they can use it on people like Lanza.
Well, we do know, and there's a wonderful film. In fact, I have it linked on the schedule page for next week when I have Dr. Tracy on, because she talks a lot about pharmaceutical drugs. And I don't know that that they haven't already done this just through the pharmaceutical drugs, which is they want everybody on some kind of a drug to alter our mood. And all of these drugs alter the mood. Now, you referred to DARPA, and that stands for the Defense Department's Advanced Research Projects Agency.
Yes.
And it sponsors much of the computer-related research that is going on. And they also have been involved in the militarization of entertainment and the commercialization of war.
Mm-hmm.
And they work with Hollywood and the Pentagon and have collaborated for decades. And so not only do we have a lot of psychotropic drugs, but we also have an organization that, as you say, we've become sociopathic, and it's been done on purpose. And I think the war gaming that a lot of the children have been involved with in the past decade is part of DARPA and part of the Defense Department. And participants are just kind of like Pavlovian subjects. They automatically respond to stimuli. And without learning, what the consequences are, they're becoming like cyborgs. And cyborgs are designed to kill.
Yeah, what leads me to believe this is because, Mike Adams, I don't know if you know, Mike Adams. He's part of Natural News with Alex. He's affiliated with Alex. I'm glad that I listen to him because I'm, you know, I'm aware now there's fluoride in the water and I got fluoride filters. And but anyway, he talks about, genetically modified food that there's already, it's already programmed, you know, pre-programmed, you know, micro DNA that actually communicates with your RNA and your cells in your body. And so he talks about this, and he says that the genetically modified food that has this micro DNA that's already pre-programmed attaches to your organ and actually can make your organ function according to its instructions. See?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well,
and so, you know, when I think about that, that leads me to believe, you know, could they be developing nanotechnology that can actually alter a person's DNA and behavior?
Okay. Earlier today, I mentioned, and I got this from the film, that our DNA can talk to each other. In other words, we are always reproducing ourselves. Our cells die within a certain period of time, very relatively short period of time. And living things can recreate other living things. In other words, our DNA can reproduce itself exactly mm-hmm. like the dying DNA, so that our DNA remains constant and it is always reproducing. But if you introduce something into the body that alters the DNA and the function of the reproduction of our DNA, then obviously you're going to get some changes. But I was also, after I watched this film this morning, I was thinking that when you look at all of the diseases and all of the consequences of the cell phone towers and the actual function of life itself, and we're talking about life across the board,
mm-hmm.
birds, bees, insects, life across the board is being altered simply because of the frequency. And there are going to be people, and I'm probably one of them, that will say, oh, I just need a quick panacea. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take, some kind of drops, or I'm going to take cod liver oil or whatever. And I think that there is a mentality in the elite that they want to blame us for the things that are happening to us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if only I would take iodine, I would be better. When in fact, it's the corporations that are doing things to us, and yet we
are. They want us to be dependent on the pharmaceuticals once we get sick.
Oh, I understand.
You know?
But it is something that we have very little control over, because they knowingly are doing these things to us, and oftentimes we won't know it. But the whole idea, of course, why I'm involved with what I'm doing, is to educate myself, share what I know with others, get people on the program that can talk about all of these things, so that we can make choices, so that we can do everything that we can to protect ourselves from this criminal cabal that is running the world.
That's right.
And doing things to us.
You know, the only way to find out if, this guy Lanza, you know, did have psychotropic drugs in him, or
he did.
What I'm suspecting this DNA nanotechnology is to do a complete autopsy on the guy.
To see if
there's any sort of, wireless, silicone in his body or something that's floating around.
Well, you know what? If he's on psychotropic drugs, he doesn't need to be injected with anything else, because the fact that he's on those drugs and he's been under counseling since he was 16. In fact, I've got a list of 22 issues that are very that I'm going to go over probably in the next hour, very suspicious about the entire shooting. And of course, the government is going to use this as an opportunity to impose tyranny upon us,
right.
just like they have with all the other shootings. And so you have to think, well, gosh, who was behind it? And now we discovered that there was more than one shooter. And I believe that, we're going to a break. We do need to go.
Listen, it was a pleasure speaking to you, Deanna, and thanks for letting me
hang on over the break if you have other questions or comments. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is James Russell. He is producer of Resonance, Beings of Frequency. The website is flatfrogfilms.com and patientzeroproductions.com. James, welcome to the program. I'm
Thank
so
you
sorry
very much.
That
How
we
are you?
That we didn't get a hold of you in the first
That's
hour.
That's all right. It's tricky getting it. We're all the way over in the UK, so it's tricky to get a hold of us.
Yeah?
Apparently.
Well, I have been kind of winging it and talked about your film, talked about the 7.83 hertz that's identical to the pulse of the earth, is the same as our brain and human life. I talked about the bees, but anyway, I love your film. I just took a lot
you.
Of notes during the film, and it is just an amazing film.
Oh, that's really kind of you to say so. It's been quite overwhelming the way that people have related to it and watched it around the world. It's people from Australia and Chile and Spain and France and all over the world have been getting in touch with me and saying how much it's affected them and how much they're concerned about this problem. And it is a problem, I feel, that concerns literally every human being on the planet.
And every animal and insect
yeah.
and bee and
yeah.
The whole our whole life and our existence.
Well, we are beings of frequency. I mean, you know, the way that our cells communicate, they communicate through frequency. The way that our DNA rebuilds itself through frequency. We're connected to this planet intrinsically. And when you talk about this, initially people think, oh, well, this is some sort of holistic mumbo-jumbo, sandal-wearing, light and incense, and let's all chant. But this is measured and proven in science for decades and decades and decades. And it just stands to absolute reason, before you even go into any of the science, that if you fill the air with alien frequencies that our bodies aren't used to, that we haven't evolved with, there's going to be some form of repercussion. Of course there is, you know. Every action has a reaction. And if you fill the air with frequencies, which is what we've done, we've got a million more frequencies, more electromagnetic radiation in the environment now than we did 50 years ago. You know, the downside, the problem, and the reason why every human being on the planet isn't demanding that something's changed about this is because we can't see it. If we could see it, it'd change everything. But the problem is we can't see it. You know, what the eyes can't see, the brain doesn't worry about.
Right. And you show it in your film quite well. People, when they get sick, they don't consider that it's something because they can't see it, of course. But they don't consider
yeah.
that it isn't just, you know, Mother Nature taking a bad turn with their health. It is because of what is going on with the cell phone towers and all the other frequencies that are man-made.
You know, when I was researching the film, I was going around where the mobile phone towers, the cell phone towers, as you call them, locally to where I live, kind of in my local area. I was knocking on people's doors and putting leaflets through people's doors just to say, look, I'm making this film. I just wondered, you're living next to a cell phone tower. I just wondered if you'd noticed any ill health or anything. You might just think it's a coincidence or not connected, but, you know, I'd love to speak to you. And the amount of people that have contacted me has been just unbelievable, with all sorts of symptoms and problems, from insomnia to cancers to benign cancers, all clustered around these masks. But people don't seem to think that it's connected. So
right.
they don't bother saying it.
We're going to a 60-second top of the hour break. We'll be right back with our guest, James Russell. Be right back. Welcome back. This is the second second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is James Russell. He is the producer, the writer, the researcher, the editor of Resonance, Beings of Frequency. The websites are flatfrogfilms.com and patientzeroproductions.com. And I also brought up one, earthbreathing.co.uk/sr.htm. After going through your film and taking a lot of notes, I was looking up all kinds of things about Schumann and about most of the people that you mentioned in the film.
Yeah, the Schumann resonance stuff is just incredible, just absolutely mind blowing. I mean, I put maybe 10% of what I wanted to put into the film. There was so much amazing stuff. For the people listening that don't know, the alpha waves of our human brain is around the 7.83 hertz frequency, which is identical to the actual frequency of the Earth. The lightning that occurs in the Earth ionosphere cavity creates a frequency which is 7.83 hertz. Now, people might say that's a coincidence, but frequencies occur from literally the size of an atom to the length of the universe itself. So it's this incredible connection that life has developed to the planet. And being exposed to that frequency, they've shown in amazing studies that they carried out in Germany that if you're taken away from that frequency, that your health suffers, your mental health, your physical health, it absolutely suffers. And the experiments that they did in Germany where they put students for literally 30 years, over a 30-year period, they were testing this. And they put a student into this literally like a bunker for 6 weeks at a time, remove them from the Earth's natural resonance, Schumann resonance. And literally, as soon as they did, they noticed all of these ill health effects. They became nauseous. They became sick. And he built a Schumann resonator, like an electromagnetic pulse generator that broadcast this 7.83 hertz. As soon as they turned it on, their health instantly got better. As soon as they turned it off, their health declined. And this is connection that we as human beings have developed to this planet. When you hear monks chanting, and they've been doing this identically for thousands and thousands of years, if you listen to the actual frequency, it's 7.83 hertz. In music production, when they're making music, they aim for 7.83 hertz because it resonates with the creative alpha waves of our brain. There's this amazing connection that happens with our brains, with the planet, and with this single frequency. It's really fascinating stuff.
Right. And what about music that is not that hertz? Wouldn't your brain kind of repel that, or just it would be very foreign to it?
I think it's a case of that we just connect more to music that's broadcasting all around that frequency. There's a deeper connection that we have to it because we can relate to it, I think, in a way that we really don't understand.
Or
just beginning to understand. Yeah, it's yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Now, you were talking about how you interviewed so many people, and tell us about Eileen, who developed breast cancer in that small village, and some of the people that also got sick.
This is, around the Wishaw Mast, and this is literally one of maybe 200 different individual cases that I looked at when making the film of people that lived in or around a very large mobile phone mast, or cell phone tower, as you call it. And there was just a cluster of people that were ill. Eileen was one of just literally every single person in this village that got sick by living next to this tower. Eileen developed breast cancer at a very young age. So did a number of people, her neighbors, her friends. Literally 70% of the people in this village developed tumors, breast cancers, benign lumps. You know, they were all suffering from insomnia. And they had this huge drama trying to get them to take the cell phone tower down. But in my research, I've spoken to so many other people that are in a similar situation that don't connect it to the tower, but when you speak to them, like, yeah, I suffer from insomnia. Yeah, I've developed a tumor. I've had cancer. My son's got leukemia. And
James,
the connection that they have is...
James, I'm sorry, but we do have to take a real quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is James Russell. He is the producer of Resonance, Beings of Frequency. The website is flatfrogfilms.com. And you were talking about the various illnesses, about people getting breast cancer, insomnia, really, really horrible diseases, and it isn't just one or two people, because we all have that 7.83 frequency that we are all sensitive. It's just that some people are going to get sick sooner.
What's been incredible, Deanna, since the film came out is that I must have had at least 2,000 emails from people from around the world that have developed a disorder called electrosensitivity, which is where people react to Wi-Fi, they react to cordless phones that you have in your home, they react to mobile phones, they react to wireless frequencies from telecoms technology. And it makes them ill. It makes them really ill in some cases. They get the horrific headaches, and some people have even worse response to it, and they bleed internally. And I've literally had thousands of emails from people who have been too scared to say that, look, when I'm around this, I get sick, because they feel they'll be laughed at, they'll be mocked, no one will take them seriously, they'll think there's some sort of tinfoil hat wearing crazy. So they hide it. So the amount of people that I've met, and these aren't just, you know, your run-of-the-mill people. These are people that are, you know, police sergeants that I've met, emergency room doctors that I've met, CEOs from major corporations. I went to visit an emergency room doctor, a really high-ranking doctor. He was literally having to live in the woods in a caravan, in a trailer, to get away from the wireless frequencies. Because if you are affected by this, if you do have electrosensitivity, there is literally no escape. You're imprisoned. Wherever you go, there's wireless. Wherever you go, there's cell phones, there's cell phone towers, there's Wi-Fi. That people are finding it incredibly difficult to get away from this. And the amount of people that it's making ill, it's amazing. In Sweden, they're the only country that does anything about it. The World Health Organization recognizes the disorder, but Sweden is literally the only country that does anything about it. And they've had to set up unique towns on the outskirts of existing towns where all of the cables, all of the pipes are protected and sealed so people can live there comfortably without it making them ill. And they have something like only 5% of the... that's incorrect. About 3% of the population of Sweden is having to live in these towns because the wireless frequencies are making them so sick.
But inasmuch as all of us have this same frequency, is it just that certain people respond or react quicker to it than the rest of us? Or... what is the difference?
If you look at it at a cellular level, every single human being's body will react to mobile phone frequencies, to wireless frequencies. Every single human being will react to it. If you take a sample of your blood and look at it under a microscope and then sit at a computer for 60 minutes, for 90 minutes, for even just 15 minutes, and then take a sample of your blood and look at it again, it'll be like blood from two different people. You'll go from having very regimented movement of your blood cells to having very sporadic, chaotic movement of your blood cells. And it's because of the interference from the wireless, from the electromagnetic fields that you're subjected to. And I've seen this with my own eyes. I've done it with my own blood. It's amazing to see the effect. Every single human being is reacting, but, yeah, you're spot on. Some people are reacting more severely than others.
Now, are there certain things that you can do to minimize this? Of course, get rid of your cordless phones and other things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you have a little look in the safety manual of your mobile phone, of your cell phone, and you go all the way to the very, very back of your cell phone safety guide, in very small writing, there'll be something called an SAR advice, where the telecoms company is telling you how far to keep your cell phone from your body. And that's exactly what you should do. You should keep it as far away from your body as you can. Some of the cell phone companies recommend you keep it as much as an inch, 2.5 centimeters from your body at all times, which is wholly unworkable in most cases. You get the feeling that they're more trying to protect themselves than protect the people that are using the technology. But yeah, absolutely, there's ways. I mean, when you go to bed, put your cell phone on flight mode. Instead of having Wi-Fi, have a cabled connection to the internet. Instead of having a cordless phone, have, you know, the good old traditional cabled phone, so you're not having those frequencies in your home. I've literally spoken to my neighbors and everybody on the street, because my wife's expecting a baby in April, and if I log on to my computer 6 months ago, it had come up with about 15 different Wi-Fi options. That's 15 different Wi-Fi connections, 15 different electromagnetic fields that are encroaching on my house, and the goodness knows what kind of cocktail of radiation that we're being subjected to. So I've literally asked all my neighbors if they'd mind and showed them the film and said, listen, would you mind, instead of having Wi-Fi, having a cable connection?
Indeed.
Mm.
And we all had that to begin with. I don't know why we had to do something different, and especially if it's going to affect us in such a dramatic way. Wow. Well, let's get back to these illnesses. You talked to this one nurse. You said that she lived in out in the woods.
Yeah.
And you also talked to a Dr. Roger Coghill.
Yeah, Roger.
Yeah, he was very interesting. It seemed like some of the scientists all have gray, fuzzy hair that kind of sticks out. I thought, gosh, do they all look like that?
Yeah, that's your classic English scientist.
Okay. Well, he's very good.
Yeah, what we strive to do in the film was we strive to use, like, just the most credible people possible.
Wonderful.
There's been people that have talked on this subject that you're going to listen to people that have got credibility. Roger Coghill is arguably one of the leading voices when it comes to melatonin. Just the people that were in the film are just the most credible scientists that we could have possibly got. So when they're talking about it, it's like, look, this isn't speculation. This isn't pseudoscience. This is hard fact that we're talking about.
Right. Now, you also talked about the SAR and showed how they set up this machine and they filled this this brain, this Sam Phantom head with, what did they fill it with?
It's glucose, the sugar. It's like a sugar water, and that replicates the brain.
Okay. And then you attached a cell phone to the skull. Or you didn't, but they did. They attached a cell phone to the skull and actually measured the difference between when the cell phone was in use and what it was showing in this Sam Phantom head. That was very, very amazing.
This is something that really concerns me as well, Dina. It's every single mobile phone has to abide by restrictions. There's a level. It's like, okay, you can only emit this much radiation. And just so many of the mobile phones are literally right on the brink. But in order to keep them under that brink, they give you instructions in the safety guide about how far to keep it from the head. The big concern, though, with the Sam Phantom head is every single mobile phone is measured against this big skull thing. I mean, it was huge, wasn't it? It's like a primitive man. This skull was like the biggest skull I'd ever seen. And every single mobile phone is measured against that. Now, you have to bear in mind that literally every micron, which is a thousandth of a millimeter, every micron of skull is adding further protection to your brain away from these microwaves. Now, the size of the skull that they measure it against, the standard size around the world of this Sam Phantom, is measured against the skull, which is taken from the average measurement of 10,000 U.S. Marines. Now, U.S. Marines are pretty big guys. You know, they have big, thick skulls. These are big guys. The average age of a mobile phone user when they get their first phone is 8 years old. Now, there's a big difference between the skull of an eight-year-old and the skull of a U.S. Marine, a huge, huge, huge difference. What they should be doing is measuring phones against the thickness of the skull of the youngest and thinnest possible skull of anyone that's going to use it, but they're not. They're using these huge, great, big, thick skulls so that the phones can broadcast higher levels of radiation than what they would have if they used the younger skull.
Right, and that's very deceptive because an eight-year-old has a much thinner skull. And,
absolutely.
And people get their children these cell phones because they want to be able to reach them. They want the child to be able to reach the parent and report in or whatever. But it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Very, very dangerous.
We're just kind of starting to see the effects of it now, you know. People have said, oh, you know, nobody's died from mobile phones. Well, look, you know, a mobile phone, the use of it, the radiation from it, it's a carcinogen. This is something that takes a period of time, and we're getting to that point in history now where it's pretty much 10 years since we started using mobile phones extensively, And, you know, this is the, all of a sudden we're starting to see brain tumors. We're starting to see a huge increase in a brain tumor called an astrocytoma, which is the brain tumor which is located very, very close to the ear. You know, you go back 30 years, this brain tumor was just unheard of. All of a sudden, it's one of the most common brain tumors that there is. And it's ironically, it's right there, right where the ear is. And, yeah, so we're seeing all of a sudden, because we've been using mobile phones for a period of time, we're starting to see this increase in ill health. And the research behind this, the epidemiology behind it, one of the biggest studies ever conducted by Leonard Hardell, they showed that absolutely an increased use of a mobile phone increases your chances of developing a brain tumor.
Right. Now, he is a professor in oncology and cancer epidemiology at the University Hospital in Sweden. And I looked him up, too. Excuse me. I looked up just about everybody that you mentioned in your film.
I must have kept you busy.
All righty. We do have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back with our guest today, James Russell. Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is James Russell. He is the producer, the director, the researcher, the editor. I'm just amazed at your talents.
Thank you.
You just did such an incredible job with this film. It's called Resonance, Beings of Frequency. The website is flatfrogfilms.com and patient ZeroProductions.com, and you can purchase this film. You can also watch it on YouTube. It is on YouTube, and
yeah, it's on YouTube, or it's on Vimeo as well. If you just type in the title of the film onto a Google search engine, just a whole raft of places will come up where you can watch it for free. That was the intention, is to just put it out there and let people watch it for free.
I think people ought to also purchase it.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I think it would be. There are a couple questions in the chat room. What are some, and we were talking about some of the symptoms, you were talking about some of the symptoms, but could they also include depression, anxiety, and violent behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of research going into this at the minute. There's a gentleman on your side of the pond called George Carlo that's done an infinite amount of research into this. Depression and insomnia go hand in hand in a lot of cases, and a lot of this comes down to the melatonin. And this is a huge part of the film, is the melatonin. I don't know if you wanted to talk about it now, but the big confusion is that people say, okay, well, mobile phones cause cancer. And the mobile phones have defended themselves by saying how. Well, we've been asking the wrong question. What mobile phones do is they stop the human body from curing cancer. When we go to bed at night, when we sleep, our body repairs all of the damaged cells. And every single day we lose literally like 500 million cells. So our body at night, it replaces those dead and dysfunctioning cells through a process called cell mitosis. That's where one cell splits into two. And a byproduct of that cell mitosis is the free radical cell. Now, you hear about free radical cells literally in everything. They're being connected now to every form of disease. And it's because what a free radical does, it latches onto a healthy cell and it turns a healthy cell into an unhealthy cell. Okay, so this happens every single night. Now, our body's natural defense against these free radicals, because we've evolved over all of these years and developed this natural, incredible organism, what our body does, it through the pineal gland, it creates something called melatonin. And melatonin is our most powerful antioxidant. There are tens of thousands of studies now looking at the benefits of melatonin. And what melatonin does, it sweeps through the bloodstream and sweeps up all of these free radicals. One melatonin cell can latch onto scores of free radical cells. Now, here lies the problem. The pineal gland is light sensitive. It knows that it only can make melatonin at night, because that is when the body is, through cell mitosis, creating these free radicals. The problem is that the pineal gland cannot differentiate between mobile phone frequencies, Wi-Fi frequencies, telecom frequencies, and light frequencies. So if you've got a mast outside your house, if you've got a phone next to your bed, if you've got Wi-Fi in your home, a cordless phone, your pineal gland interprets those frequencies that it's still being light. And if it's still light, then it doesn't make the melatonin. If it doesn't make the melatonin, your body isn't getting the immunological protection that it would ordinarily get. Your immune system is diminished. And melatonin also is something that helps us to sleep. So, again, the amount of people I speak to around cell phone masts and cell phone towers, that they just cannot sleep at night, or more commonly can't get a deep sleep or a restful sleep, and it's because you're not producing the right levels of melatonin. And if you're not producing the right levels of melatonin, you're not going to get the right amount of sleep. And there's some incredible studies surrounding melatonin. For example, night shift work, people that do night shift work, this is classed by the World Health Organization as being possibly carcinogenic. They've shown that there's a 40% increase in breast cancer from people who do night shift work. Why? Because your body's not producing the correct melatonin, but you're still producing these free radicals, and it's the melatonin that gets rid of the free radicals. There's amazing studies out there that is showing that cell phone frequencies, mobile phone frequencies, telecom frequencies absolutely inhibit the production of melatonin.
Oh, my. And we do need this because that takes care of all these free radicals. And
yeah,
does
absolutely.
Right. And if you have all this stuff in your bedroom, even, I think, an electric clock next to your head,
yeah,
I think would be. Now, can you take a melatonin supplement that would...
Well, they prescribe melatonin for insomnia. I mean, this is one of the things that they prescribe for people with insomnia. And you look at when you start to look at diseases and you start to look at illnesses and ailments and cancers, you start to see that children with leukemia have a reduced melatonin rate. Women with breast cancer have a reduced melatonin rate. The less melatonin you produce, the more chance that there are for free radicals to be able to group and cluster together and make healthy cells unhealthy. So, yeah, absolutely. I would absolutely consult a doctor before you start taking any sort of medication like that, because it's important to have the right balance of melatonin in your system. What you don't want to do is take too much of it.
Sure. All righty, we are going to a break, and we do have some other questions about cell phone texting and the power grid and smart meters, but we will be back in 3 minutes, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is James Russell. He is a producer, director, writer, researcher of Resonance, Beings of Frequency. His website is flatfrogfilms.com. You can watch the video on YouTube. It's at about an hour and a half, but I recommend that you purchase it and share it with your neighbors and friends and tell them about it. This is very important. Everybody needs to know about this. Now, I asked about texting because a lot of young people use texting rather than talking on the phone. Isn't that just as dangerous because they're still using the frequency to do that, to send these text messages?
We assume that the only time that your mobile phone, that your cell phone, sorry, is emitting radiation, and it's microwave radiation that your cell phone emits, is when we're talking on it, when a call connects. But constantly, whenever you're moving around, your phone will be in communication with all of the cell phone towers. And that's happening continuously. Texting on a phone absolutely is much, much safer than holding a phone against your brain, against your head. But having it on your person, I would absolutely be careful where you put it. I always used to keep my phone in my front pocket. And we went and did, and I really wanted to put this in the film, but there was nowhere that I could put it in the film. But it was just so absolutely mind-blowing to see it. We went up to the Scottish Sperm Centre in Edinburgh, and they were showing us semen that had been exposed to a mobile phone and semen that hadn't been exposed to a mobile phone, and it was decreasing the mobility by somewhere like 60 to 65%, and it was just incredible to see how these mobile phone frequencies was affecting something like that. So there's a campaign that started here in the UK which is all about putting your mobile phone, instead of guys putting it in their front pocket, putting it in their back pocket, and storing it in a safety case. In fact, if you look on your mobile phone, sorry, I keep calling it a mobile phone, you guys call it a cell phone. If you look on your cell phone safety guide, there's very clear instructions on the majority of mobile phones that you should keep it in a recommended protective case when you're carrying it around, because the whole time that it's on your person, that cell phone is connecting to cell phone towers and emitting radiation. And depending on which way you've got the transmitter facing, that's either going into your body or going away from your body, which is why they recommend to have these little cases to keep it in.
Oh, my. And so many people are getting rid of their landlines and just using their cell phones.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And here in the UK, they've just released 4G technology. And in order to do that, they had to raise the limits of what was acceptable. So they took the limits and then they raised it so that they could sell the 4G frequency so we could have a higher bandwidth and have more information and more frequencies in the environment.
Wow. And of course, people, well, as you say, they just raise the limits. And when you have the industry that actually does all the testing for these things, people accept the industry standards, and they think, oh, it's safe. And I think you can apply that to smart meters, the people who are trying to impose smart meters on every home in the NATO countries. Are the ones that are doing the testing, the promoting, and the PR for these smart meters, and they do the same thing.
Yeah, well, there's two things to bear in mind here. First of all, when they built the telecommunications network, when they started to establish it in the 1980s, and they built what we call the grid, so this is all of the communication towers, because back then it was on analog, so they built all of these towers. Before they constructed that, before they started to broadcast these frequencies and put all of this electromagnetic pollution into the environment, they didn't carry out one single test onto the biological effects. They didn't carry out one study, one test, not anything. They built it without taking any steps whatsoever to make sure it was safe, none. Now, the governing body now, and it isn't even a governing body, but the people that global governments turn to for advice about limits for electromagnetic radiation in the environment is a body called ICNIRP. And ICNIRP's levels aren't based on carcinogenic effects. They're not based on cancers or gliomas or tumors or astrocytomas or any of this stuff. It's based on effects that they know exist. And the only effect that they know exists is when radiation becomes ionizing. And ionizing radiation is basically what cooks the food in your microwave. That's microwaves at an ionizing level, when it's powerful enough to heat things, to heat water, to heat blood, to heat flesh. If it's below that, it's fine. If it hits that, okay, that's too much. So that's the only limit that there is right now. Saying that there's a limit, there is no limit. You know, until people start cooking because of the frequencies around the environment, it's perfectly within the parameters, it's perfect within the guidelines, and it's perfectly within the limits that are set by ICNIRP.
Right, and of course that's an organization that accepts money from the very people that they're supposed to be talking about, right?
Well, these guys have come out of the ICNIRP was a body that was set up around industry, so their ties are all throughout industry. They claim to be an independent body, and they look at the research and they look at the studies, and they say what they think is safe, and global governments look at them and say, okay, well, this is what ICNIRP has said. Let's take that on board and let's implement that. Let's implement those levels. But the levels are so, so high that it's virtually impossible to anybody to infringe on that levels, because they're set at such a high level, because they don't take into account any of the carcinogenic effects. People are reacting to frequencies way, 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 way below the levels that are legal, way below the levels that are legal.
Right. One of our listeners wants to know about the Kindle. They have a Kindle device. Is that something that also draws radiation or negative frequencies, or are they
safe?
Anything
that you're connecting to the internet without a cable, is the way that it's going to connect to that is through Wi-Fi, through a wireless connection. And having Wi-Fi in your home, this is a whole amount of radiation that you're subjecting yourself to by having this in your house. And it's virtually inescapable now. It's virtually impossible to escape Wi-Fi. It's the same by having a cordless phone in your house. But, yeah, absolutely. If you've got a Kindle and you're connecting to the Internet without any form of cable, the way that you're connecting is through a Wi-Fi connection, which is an electromagnetic frequency.
Right. Now, I have an iPad, and I download a lot of books and things on my iPad, so I don't connect to the Internet, but I think that's safe.
Well, it depends how you connect into the Internet. If you connect into the Internet through a cable, through a landline connection, then, yeah, it's going to be much safer. But I've got rid of the Wi-Fi in my home because there's studies on all independent forms of frequencies on cell phones. There's studies on Wi-Fi. There's studies on this and on that. But what there isn't a study on is the effects of exposure to the cocktail of frequencies that we're exposed to. Like, you're sitting there right now, no doubt you'll have Wi-Fi from 10 different places, you'll have cell phones, you'll have microwaves, you'll have all of this stuff that you're being exposed to, just different levels and different frequencies of it. And none of those frequencies, your body has any idea what they are, especially the cell phone frequencies. Because the way that the cell phone works with its communication and the data, it's sending little parcels, little packages of information. And it's those little parcels of information that your body has no idea what they are. This does not exist anywhere in nature. So your body that's developed over all of these hundreds of thousands of years, all of a sudden is being bombarded with something that is completely alien to it.
Right. Right. Yes, I got rid of my, well, I have a cell phone, but I don't use it. I use it maybe once a month.
Yeah.
And got rid of the cordless phones, got rid of the electric blanket, got rid of the electric clock in my
bedroom. Did you sleep better when you did that?
I'm still having some trouble sleeping. And I do know that there's a lot of different networks, wireless networks in my neighborhood, because I can tell when I look at the list. It's very interesting, and I was very interested in what you talked about at the end of the film with the melatonin, and wow, as you say, it's just all around us, and I did get rid of the cordless phones, but I still have my router. I still have a network that connects all the computers.
Well, the amount of the sheer amount of radiation that there is in the environment now is what is making it very difficult for science to conduct credible research into it, because what we don't have anymore is a control group. We say in the film that the reason that we found out that smoking was bad is because some people didn't smoke. You know, and we looked at a group of people that smoked and a group of people that didn't smoke in the 1960s and said, okay, well, the people that smoke, they seem to be getting more lung cancer. That's epidemiology, where you're looking at statistics and groups. And that's how we found out that, you know, smoking caused lung cancer. We're getting to the point now with Wi-Fi, with mobile phones, with cell phones, with the cell phone towers, that everybody's exposed to it. Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has Wi-Fi. Everybody has this technology and is exposed to this radiation. So how do you go about getting a control group? You know, if we didn't have a control group with smoking, we may never have found out that smoking was detrimental to our health. We could have just chalked it off as, you know, another one of those freak things where everybody's getting lung cancer and not known that there was the connection to cigarettes.
Right. Getting back to this Kindle issue again, even if you download, say, PDF files onto a Kindle or an iPad and you don't connect to the Internet to read those PDF files, is that still a danger?
Well, as do you know what? It kind of depends the environment that you're in. If you're not connected, if your computer's or your Kindle isn't connected via Wi-Fi, then you've got a much lower amount of radiation, a much lower amount of frequency that you're being exposed to. So, yeah, that's absolutely much safer. Look, I absolutely think that what people should be doing is because we're never going to get rid of this technology. This is never going to happen. And I love gadgets and I love technology as much as anybody. And if you took my gadgets away from me, I'd be devastated. But what I think the film, the message that the film had and the message that I'm trying to portray and relay, sorry, is that, look, we need to just look at how we can use this technology safely. Okay, we need to look at how we can use it in a way where it's not causing us harm. And one of the things that we can do is, okay, well, maybe at night turn the Wi-Fi off, or instead of having a Wi-Fi, have a cabled connection to the internet so you're not broadcasting that frequency. Instead of having the cordless phone, have the cabled phone. Instead of having your mobile phone pushed against your ear, maybe have it a few centimeters or a few inches away from your ear.
Or throw it away.
Do you know what? It's I lost my phone about 2 months ago. It was so liberating. You spend so much of your life just attached to it, and just not having it around was just so liberating and so nice. Just not having this phone at all. We survived for thousands of years without having cell phones. But if you take somebody's cell phone away from them for literally an hour, it's like the world's about to end.
Right. I think it's addictive, particularly with young people.
Yeah.
You see them out on the street. You see them getting hit by cars when they're looking at and automobile accidents. So many people get into accidents because they're texting when they should be driving.
Yeah.
It is very addictive behavior. What did they do before they had this? I don't know.
People just had to turn up on time.
Right.
That's what happened. People have to say, if you said you're going to be somewhere, you just had to be there.
Sure.
What's really interesting is an institute, and I'm making a short film about this. There's an institute in London, and they're the only technology addiction institute in Europe. And 5-6 years ago, they dealt predominantly with people that were addicted to gaming. So like the World of Warcraft, people that were addicted to kind of these interactive online games. Now they're predominantly treating people that are addicted to Facebook, that are addicted to their cell phones, that are addicted to social networking. And what they're starting to report now, which is absolutely incredible, is that children as young as 6 or 7 that they're treating there, they're showing that they've got diminished social skills. So their ability to communicate facially, person to person, face to face, which is, you know, something we've developed over tens of thousands of years, this ability, is diminishing. People are losing that ability to portray and convey emotions, to be able to relay their thoughts face to face.
Kind of like
fascinating stuff.
Right. And of course, with the texting, you abbreviate, and so you're losing the ability to even properly convey your thoughts when you're texting.
Absolutely. A good friend of mine's a teacher. And he's been a teacher for the last 30 years, and he was saying to me that, you know, the written word is getting more and more difficult to be able to read, because children now, they do their reports on the computer, they type it up, they use spell check, they use grammar check. But you put a pen in a child's hand, all of a sudden now they literally don't know how to use it. The ability to write is a dying art.
Right. One of the people in the chat room wants to know if tinnitus is one of the symptoms, as so many people have that. Tinnitus, when the ringing in your ears, constant ringing in your ears, is that something associated with dirty electricity? Or
do you know what? I've spoke to a lot of people that have come to me, and they've said, you know, I used my cell phone for a long time, especially kind of, I spoke to a lot of people that during the 1980s, they were the big go-getters, you know, the corporate head honchos. They were the guys in the suits that got those very first cell phones, the ones with the, you know, the ones with the big aerials.
Yeah,
it was like the size of a brick. You know, those huge, great big things. And they were just, oh, my goodness, those things would just cook your brain. There was so much frequencies coming out of them. But I've spoke to loads of people that are like city people that are brokers and traders and hedge fund managers. And they've all come to me and said, you know, I used these phones in the 1980s and 90s. And I've got the worst tinnitus, or tinnitus, as you call it. I've got the worst tinnitus, just this constant ringing in my ear. I haven't seen any research that connects the two, but I've spoken to a lot of people that are connecting it.
What about thyroid issues? I know a lot of people have thyroid issues. They're usually hypothyroid.
Sure. Again, I've had a lot of people come to me with these complaints, but what I can only talk about is the stuff that I've seen firsthand, that there's been peer-reviewed science conducted onto it. And that's something that if there is studies that's been done on a connection with thyroid, it's not something that I've read.
Okay. I think the emergency room doctor that you had on, the lady, mentioned the, well, she talked about electrosensitivity, and she did mention endocrine function, brain seizures, and thyroid. She mentioned the word thyroid.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something that she's worked with personally. Erica's fantastic. She's absolutely fantastic. And when you speak to people in the medical profession like Erica, this is absolutely a problem that they're aware of.
Right. All righty, we're going for our last 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Our guest today has been James Russell. He is a producer, director, writer, editor of Resonance, Beings of Frequency. His website is flatfrogfilms.com. And in your film, you showed one gentleman that had really put up some safety shields in his home. He talked about metallized glass, and he had a meter where he could actually see what kind of frequency was entering through an open window, then close the window, and the meter showed that there was no frequency coming in. I can't remember. His name is Brian.
Brian, that's right. Yeah, Brian had a torrid time. He was part of a really botched experiment at Essex University to almost validate electrosensitivity. This was when it was in its infancy and people were just starting to sit up and notice it, and he was part of a botched experiment for that. And Brian, if he's around Wi-Fi, he bleeds internally. He gets unbelievably sick. He gets nauseous. He gets terrible migraine headaches. And if he's around it for too long, he starts bleeding internally. So what he had to do, Brian was lucky. I mean, he was... he's a very wealthy guy. He was the CEO of one of the biggest frozen food companies in Europe, so this is a very educated man. He turned his home his bedroom into a Faraday cage, literally. He put metal protection in the loft, in the windows, because right across the field from his house was a huge mast that was broadcasting the frequency directly into his home. So we took all of these actions, but the little machine that what that does, that makes audible the microwave frequencies, because obviously we can't see the frequencies, but what this machine does, it allows you to hear the frequencies. And this is the big shame. If there was something, a pair of glasses that we could put on and we could see the world with all of the electromagnetic pollution, with all of the frequencies that surround us, we would have a very different view about it. We would have a very different view indeed, and I think global governments would have a very different view as well. They're lucky in the fact that we can't see it, and as I said before, what your eyes can't see, the brain tends not to worry about.
Right. And, of course, the corporations have such a powerful influence on governments because they fund a lot of them and give the politicians money, and so the politicians go ahead and okay this stuff.
Yeah, well, they just sold the 4G network. The telecoms companies paid the British government £4 billion, which is, with the current exchange rate, I think that's about, I don't know, $4 trillion. I'm kidding. It's about $6 billion they paid them to buy this bandwidth, which, how they can sell that, I don't know, but they sold it for £4 billion. So, yeah, this is huge amounts of money these people put in their pockets.
Right.
And the part of the film where we talk about the MTHR, and when you read these huge funded experiments that say, oh, mobile phones, they're not bad, there's nothing wrong with them, it's all crazy, you've got to kind of have a look at who funded the research. And there's a big part of the film that looks into this, into research funding. And so much of that research is funded by a body called the MTHR. And the MTHR is set up and funded by the telecoms industry. So they're funding their own research and controlling their own research.
Exactly. And, of course, these are the public airways, and look what they're filling them with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so very much for being on the program today, James. I hope that we can do this again, and I hope everyone watches your film, and I hope a lot of people purchase it.
Could I ask your viewers as well, we have a petition at the minute to try and encourage telecoms companies to put warnings on the boxes of cell phone, on cell phone packaging, which is at iPetitions. If you type in iPetitions, clear warnings for cell phones, the petition will come up, and I'd love people to go on there and sign that.
Okay, well, do. Thank you so very much.
Brilliant. Wonderful chat, Diana.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners.